And good morning, KRFY listeners. I'm Susie Prez, and thanks for tuning in to the morning show today, Wednesday, September 4th. I have some really fun guests in the studio because they're doing fun things in our community. Today, I'll be talking with Clay and Reno Hutchison, owners of what is known as the Carousel of Smiles. Good morning, Reno.
Good morning.
And good morning, Clay.
Good morning, Susie.
So let's talk about the Carousel of Smiles. Again, thanks for coming in because we need to hear about this from you. Why don't we start at the beginning? Just right before the show started, we were talking about why the interest. And Clay, you mentioned that Reno had an interest since a very young age. Reno, why don't you tell us about when you became interested in carousels and why it has pulled you into this huge project we'll talk about later.
So I've been in love with carousels since I was a child. I grew up in Butte, Montana, and there was a carousel there at this beautiful place called the Columbia Gardens that some people may still remember. The Columbia Gardens was just a respite from the mining town of Butte, and as a child, it was just a magical place to get to be. And they had gardens there, a big pavilion, a roller coaster, a biplane ride, and this carousel. And we spent our summers as kids there. And in 1973, at the end of its operating season, the carousel was taken down and stored in the pavilions there. And in December of that year, the pavilions up there caught on fire and the carousel burned and it was lost. And I was brokenhearted. It just broke my heart. But it instilled this thing in me of someday I'm going to find another carousel and I'm going to fix it up and I'm going to bring it to my community so that everybody else can share the love of something that was amazing to me. And so
it sounds... She never let go of that dream. Our second date was on a carousel. And so in the 90s, late 90s, when she was telling me about all this, I kind of said, oh, sure, hon, we'll go find a carousel.
Sure. There's one in Spokane, so how does that kind of meet you as far as that love of and the magic of a carousel?
So interestingly, that carousel was part of my history, too. I remember that carousel from some of my very early memories when it was still at Knapp Park, before it even moved to River Park, River Park's.
The one downtown
Spokane, yes. And so being able to see that carousel that lived on, that carousel is really a special carousel in that it came to its community in 1909, I believe. Don't want to misspeak that. And it remained in its community forever. Very unusual for carousels to do that. Pretty special that carousel not only remained in its community, but always remained together. So Betty Largent curated that carousel for 35 years. She is part of the National Carousel Association, served as the president for the National Carousel Association for 17 years. And she has very much supported our project here, is very excited about it, and is also on our board. So she's been a tremendous help. So that carousel's been... Carousels somehow find their way to be a part of their collective, and that's been kind of a cool thing that's happened with this carousel. So,
kind of relationships between the carousel families in life. When you say this Betty person it curated, what does a curator of a carousel do?
I'm using that word a little bit loosely, but what she did was she basically... watched over and cared for that carousel for 35 years.
Yeah, she restored the animals.
She restored the animals.
Painted them, I think, twice in her tenure, and they always need some repair, repainting. You know, these are active machines that people are using and enjoying as they should be, and they take some wear, so therefore they take fixing up.
So making sure that when they're fixed up properly and
yes.
Well done.
Yes,
because. So are most of the horses in the carousel, in a carousel, like the one in Spokane we'll just talk about for a minute, carved out of wood?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's a kind of a organic material that needs to be properly cared for.
Exactly. Yeah, they're all hand carved. I could go into that whole process, but that's maybe for a whole other day because it's vast. But yes, and you know, they get old like we do, and so they need that extra care put into them as they age. And as Clay said, as they're ridden and worn, you need to take care of that.
In our case, the carousel that we managed to find by sheer happenstance and bring to Sandpoint was a traveling carousel. And so it was created about 1920. It had a pretty full life on the traveling carnival circuit in the Midwest. And by the 50s, it had already had a refresh. We figured out from our restoration, it probably was refreshed in 1940. But by 1952, when it got stored in its two trailers and left in a farmer's field, it needed a full refresh. And by that time, you know, that was expensive to do. And a carny operator could pick up a newer machine a lot less expensive.
So let's back up just a minute to now talking about the carousel that you are holders of, we'll call it, because it sounds like it's got a bigger life than just an ownership. So you have a carousel, you have all the parts, and it's a matter of fixing them up, refurbishing them, getting them ready to become a moving carousel.
Right.
So tell us the history of the one that you are part of.
So this carousel was carved by the Allen Herschel Carving Company in North Tonawanda, New York, in about 1920. We haven't been able to pin down its exact date of
manufacture,
but we believe it's about 1920. It came out of the factory as a working machine. It was meant to travel. It was meant to be a traveling carousel, unlike some of the bigger carousels that were carved to go to a park, like the carousel that's in Spokane. The carousel has 36 horses. It has two chariots. It's 40 feet in diameter. All the horses are carved of wood. All of them are hand-carved, and each one is unique. Each one is different. There's not a single pony on that carousel that is like another one that's on it.
Some of the poses are similar, but the trappings and variations are all different. It's really kind of magical. And so when Reno said, "Let's go find a carousel," the collector craze and the restoration, saving carousels, that movement started in about the 70s, early 70s, late 60s. Prior to that, when carousels ended their useful life, they were abandoned pretty much. Sometimes they were just burned in firewood and or just left to rot. And so it wasn't until the late 60s where people said, hey, these are pretty magical things. It's an important part of our Americana, and they started collecting them. And so by the 90s, when I said, yeah, sure, let's go find a carousel, I was pretty comfortable there were no carousels left to be found. And if there were any, they'd come out of a barn or be found in a farmer's field.
So how did you find this one?
It was totally by happenstance. My sister-in-law was helping her college roommate with her roommate's father's Americana collection in Kansas. And she called me with wanting to know where to send a Christmas gift to my kids in July. And my sister-in-law doesn't do Christmas shopping in July. So we had a nice conversation about what are you doing in Kansas, et cetera, et cetera. And kind of by sheer, just at the end of the conversation, I'm about to hang up the phone, I said, hey, Deborah, they don't have a carousel in their collection of stuff. And I can remember putting the phone down and saying, hey, Shelley, do you guys have a carousel? And yeah, we got one. It's going to be a surprise auction item at the end of the auction. And we had about 10 days to get some photos in and make a deal with them and kept it from going to auction and being broken up. So we really bought this thing sight unseen through photos. But Reno looked at it and said, this is an intact carousel. Not exactly sure of the maker, but it's got all the horses and, you know, we had one picture of the mechanism trailer. They were in two trailers, and that hadn't been unloaded since the 50s. And you could see all the pieces just packed inside this trailer. So, it was kind of a leap of faith, one of those, you got to make a decision, and we did.
And it has consumed your life ever since.
It has completely consumed.
Especially in the last few years. So we got it in 2000 and moved it to a storage barn, putting the trailers on lowboy trailers and transporting them back east to a barn I had in New York. Because, you know, what do you do with a carousel? It's kind of like, now what? And we never unloaded it. We stored it in there for 16 years, still unloaded inside this barn. And it wasn't until 2016 when the city announced that they were going to do a master plan for the city beach and with a desire for year-round activity that we said we've got to bring them out of storage and bring them here and launch this project, because we had spent quite a few years seeing carousels, getting involved with the National Carousel Association just to see what do you do with a carousel in this modern age. And so that was really the start of the project when the city said we want to create some better year-round activity for the community and of Sandpoint, and we said, "Well, we can help with that."
And so then you launched in 2016 into bringing it all out here in some big truck unit of some sort.
Well, they were still in their two traveling trailers that they had been in for 64 years at that point, and what we did is we loaded those two trailers onto lowboy trailers, and because they weren't really roadworthy and brought
low
them
boys
out.
The kind of trailer you see they bring big
like
heavy
equipment on
flatbeds, it's flat kind of thing.
Kind of a low flatbed.
So you brought them out to Sandpoint, and where did you put them?
So the first event we had was at the Granary Building, what is now Matchwood Brewery. We were able to work with Steve Holtz. He said, "Yeah, you can use this space until we need to turn it into this brewery project that he had going on, a great project." And so we unloaded it for the first time in 64 years at that building. We had the doors open. We had about 400 people there, and we brought them out one by one, and all the mechanism and everything. And that was a pretty exceptional event.
That was so exciting, and that was when we really found out what type of carousel we had. Because we'd spent a couple of years going around and looking at other carousel projects and really understanding what they are, what it was, all the different carvers that are out there. And when we pulled the interior art panels out, most carousels have the sign on the interior art panel of where the carousel was manufactured, who made that carousel. And when we pulled that out and it said manufactured by the Allen Herschel Carving Company in North Tonawanda, New York, it was just fantastic, because we finally knew what type of carousel it was, that it was, in fact, a complete intact carousel, and that we had all the pieces that we needed to put it back together.
That was the first time we knew we had chariots, because you couldn't see the chariots packed away.
And it was also the first time that we realized we had jeweled ponies. So all the outside row ponies on this carousel are jeweled, which are really, it is unusual for a country fair style carousel, a traveling type carousel. So to see the jewels on the outside pony was just magical.
And those are like cut glass or something like that.
Yeah,
they're sparkly and gorgeous.
Yes.
Was the paint pretty good shape?
The paint was non-existent.
Oh.
So the Americana collector that had the carousel for many years at one point took the horses out of the trailer and had them stripped of their park paint. He was an IGA grocer. And I think it was his intention to use the horses as decorations in his stores. Mm-hmm. And I think that he took them out, he repainted two of them, and I suspect, I don't know, but I believe that the job was just so daunting that they all went back into the trailer in just bare wood and stayed there that way. So it was a blessing and a curse at the same time, that the horses survived for so many more years in those trailers. Being out of paint is a miracle, really.
Is it a special kind of paint that's used to bring them back to an authentic state?
Yes, and Betty Largent has been really helpful with that. There's a lot of back and forth that happens between people that are restoring carousels and that are
some carousels are animals are being restored for people in their homes
place,
and so those are more, when those artists are generally using tube oils and takes much longer to paint them. You have to wait a long time for them to dry. These horses are going to be on a working machine, so we are using an oil-based paint, but it's got some enamel in it, so it dries quicker. So you can actually every few days you can do some more painting.
And we're not talking about slathering paint on. We're talking about design and really almost an artistic painting project.
Yes.
It's not. I'm just looking at some of the pictures that were in the B of Wendy Lawrence. Yeah. You know, there's shadows, and I mean, you have to have some artistic talent to do some of this.
Well, absolutely. That's what's incredible about our community, right? Our community is full of talented artists, and we've had people join this project that some of them aren't even artists, but they've learned how to apply this paint in a way that is just beautiful. It's prettier probably than it was when it initially came out of the factory. And so we just allow them to have that license to take these horses to a place that truly they're being turned into not only beautiful horses again, but art pieces as well.
It's a limited license. Reno has a pretty solid idea in her mind. First off, we turned this into a 501c3 project, so it's owned by the 501c3. We're more just the shepherders of the project at this point, and it's really been embraced by the community, and it is owned and being restored by the community. So, but she has a pretty good vision on the horses should look realistic, and there's a lot of flexibility in the trappings, but there's some color continuity in the various rows, and there's a whole methodology to that, which even goes to the original science of light rows going, dark rows going to light rows, so that when the machine is spinning, it looks faster because of the optics of color. And so there's a lot behind it. And but we're just not, you know, giving a pony out and saying paint it any way you want.
Mm-hmm, right.
Not on these. We have a fundraising project with small metal horses that came off a carousel that we do allow artists to go, the term we use is go Peter Max on these things.
Sure, have fun with it.
Have fun with it. So
the Carousel of Smiles, why is it called Carousel of Smiles? You already indicated that each carousel has its own history and story, so this has the name Carousel of Smiles.
Really?
I think it came from... You know, when we looked at this and think of this, and we think of people with carousels, I don't know anyone that doesn't bring a smile to their face. So it just seemed like a natural name for it. You know, it's just a fitting name for this carousel.
Okay, so you named it that.
We named it
okay.
The carousel.
Didn't come with that name.
Actually, Clay really named it.
I don't think that.
Yeah.
Okay. So just back to some more specifics on this Carousel of Smiles. It has horses. Sometimes you see other animals on carousels. This is strictly horses and the two chariots.
That's right. Yeah. Carousels, some carousels that have other animals are called menagerie carousels. Oh, okay. This one is only horses. Alan Herschel did carve menagerie animals, but typically those went on the bigger, fancier carousels that were being placed in a park-like setting. These horses are carved in a special way too, knowing that it was going to be traveling and moved. The horses are carved so that the pieces of them, like their ears, their tails, things like that, are closer to their bodies. So they
less likely
there's
to
less,
get broken when,
exactly.
you're, when you're taking the thing up and down every week or two.
Yeah. So that's a kind of an interesting historical piece to this carousel.
But we found out it's called a number two special from someone not too many, a few years ago, sent us a catalog or reproduction catalog from Alan Herschel, and we could see the line drawing and it matched our carousel. And that's described as being a very fancy traveling carousel or also able to be used in a permanent setting. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of bridged the gap between traveling carousels and park carousels. And so we have some extra stuff on it. Some of the crowns and the rounding boards are quite decorative.
So I'm curious about the music, because a carousel without the music just isn't quite a carousel, right? Did this unit come with its own sound system, so to speak? And what does that look like?
It would have come with a Wurlitzer band organ.
Okay.
And the band organs take a fair amount of care and maintenance. So...
Kind of like a player piano.
Yeah, kind of.
As it goes around, it's hitting different things.
Yeah, uses rolls.
Yeah, much like player pianos, but these organs tend to be even a bit more finicky.
Mm-hmm.
So we believe that the original band organ was probably left on the side of the road by the carnies. You know, this was a working machine, and they had a job to do, and if it was not germane to making the money in the carnival, it you know, so we don't know what happened to the original one, but we have managed to acquire. We were donated a fabulous band organ from a gentleman in Alaska that had restored one, and so we have a band organ, and it's another one of the things when you turn that on. The smiles just break out.
You know what's going on.
You know what's going on.
That sound is so iconic.
It's so iconic and so magical. You know, it brings that additional magic, I think, to carousels. We had it in the 4th of July parade this year, and it was so fun to watch people's reaction when they would hear that music. You'd see their heads turn. They'd start looking for it, and pretty soon people would be clapping to it and moving to that music because it's so magical.
What generates the rotation, so to speak? Is it what is the mechanism
yes.
that makes it go?
Yes.
So the carousels will be run by an electric motor.
Okay.
It probably was run originally by electric motor. We didn't get the original motor. The motor that came in the trailer, so it was basically a gas-powered generator, if you will, that would provide the electricity. And then through a series of pulleys and belts, it transfers its power to the carousel through a Model A differential stacked vertically that we've just restored. And and then that goes to a series of gears that then rotate the machine. And then the horses go up and down because it is on, you know, they're hung from what's called a crank, which is a long metal rod that has the horses it's not a straight rod. It has up and down cutouts at different angles. And so as that rod spins, the horses are attached to it, and that makes them go up and down. Mm-hmm. And all 36 of our horses do go up and down, called jumpers. So
not all do on carousels.
That's right. Some stand on the outside. Yes, these all go up and down. Yeah.
Wow. There's a lot to this that I wasn't aware of.
I think
slowly gaining the picture.
I think another thing worth noting too, when we're talking about the mechanism, a lot of people don't understand that the mechanism is actually suspended. The whole machine is suspended from the center pole at the top of the carousel. So there's nothing underneath the carousel that is supporting it or keeping it up. It's all suspended like a big umbrella almost. And a lot of people don't realize that. I think that's pretty cool. The other thing that I think is cool about this machine is being built in the 1920s, it's really historically at the forefront of our Industrial Revolution. It's a very simple machine, and I think that it's really special and worth people knowing that this machine is something that came out of our very early history of machines. And so
because it was so far back there then, and it's still functional now,
yes.
It kind of was built in a genius sort of way.
Truly.
Yeah. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Truly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it speaks to the smarts of the people back then to come up with this.
Yes.
And it ignites the imagination of our mechanical types in the community too. It's you know, we give a lot of credit, as we should, to the artists that are making this happen on the painting, because obviously the horses are what shine, but the whole mechanism, we have a group of people, we call them the Gear and Grease Gang, because we had to look at the gears and re-grease the bearings to start with. And that's involved a lot of local businesses that have helped us with some of the heavier, more nasty aspects of this restoration. So there are a lot of aspects to restoring this machine. It's really been fantastic to see the enthusiasm and the number of people that have wanted to get involved.
You know, I want to get into where you're at now and what's coming forward. I think it was a smart move to become a nonprofit, because then people have a different kind of interest. It becomes not a business, but a community endeavor, which you've described perfectly. All the different, the artists, the mechanics, all the people that are interested enough in this because of maybe the little magic of it, have come together. And I just wondered, are you part of a support group for carousel restorations in this country? Because it sounds like it's taken over a lot of what you do. Maybe joyfully.
Oh, it's absolutely. This is, when people ask me about the project, I tell them it's my love project. Mm-hmm. To be able to bring something so magical to this community, and I have some reasons behind that that maybe we'll get into a little bit, but to be able to bring a love project to a community is something that is just indescribable for me. It's a pretty extraordinary thing to be able to do.
I think one of the things that touches our hearts is seeing some of the volunteers that have come in. You know, we have a few, you know, a lot of us are retired or semi-retired. We're not quite retired, unfortunately. and it's given a new lease on life to some people. They realize this is an opportunity to not only, you know, practice their craft again, but to share their experiences with other people, some of the younger people that are working with us. And it's really, we use the word magical, but there's so many magical aspects to this. It's not just the horses, but it's the little mini community that we've developed here in Sandpoint that's extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. And you haven't even really gotten those kids onto those horses yet in a big way on a regular basis. So I want to get into all that and a little bit more of what we're talking about right now, but I thought we'd take a little musical break. I just let the listeners here at 88.5 KRFY, our community radio, know that I'm speaking with Clay and Reno Hutchison about the Carousel of Smiles, where it's at. It's been in the news lately because there's some really good information coming up that we'll talk about of where they're at and what's coming. But I thought we'd take a little musical break so that we could come back and start focusing on the current future. And this is, we're going to hear, so stay with us. We've got more to come on this great subject. I'm learning a lot. Thank you. Speaking with Clay and Reno Hutchison from Carousel of Smiles, there's a lot going on with this project that has been happening since, was it 2016 that you brought it up from New York?
That's when we brought it from New York to Sandpoint, yes. Mm-hmm. But this project really has been a dream of mine since I was 12 years old.
Right.
And so, but yeah.
Okay. So this has been going on for a while, and now there's news that, first of all, the challenge of finding a place for it.
Yes.
It can't be outside. It has to be inside. Sandpoint has limited opportunities for that. And you have finally found something. Either one of you can tell us what's going on now and what's coming up.
We are so excited to make this announcement because it has been a long time coming. You know, initially when I dreamed about this project, I always imagined this carousel at the city beach in Sandpoint. And we worked towards that coming
You know, we brought it here when the city announced a master plan for the city beach, which then by 2019 turned into a parks plan, master plan. And by then, you know, we knew we had to get the community behind us. I mean, our first meeting with Mayor Shelby and the administrator, Jennifer Stapleton, in 2016, they basically said, you know, much like the current mayor, we need to know that the community is behind this, and then we'll give it some consideration. That's pretty straightforward. So by the time the master plan process happened, we had a lot of community support. We were on two locations in the master plan, the city beach and the Sand Creek spot. And it looked like we were gonna find a good home in the Sand Creek spot. It made a lot of sense, but it just, due to circumstances, due to other events in the town, it just wasn't going to work out in any kind of a timely fashion.
You didn't get the $7.5 million for a pickleball court.
No, right. We didn't. And that took a life and a direction that took a lot of us town in a different direction. So, you know, this was always set up as a two-prong project. We knew we had to do the restoration and then the location. And so the restoration's been going great with tremendous enthusiasm and volunteerism.
And 20,000 hours. Where is that happening right now?
That currently is in two locations. It's in the Misty Mountain Furniture Building is where we paint the horses. And then also we have a big shop at the Pioneer Square Building. And so now what we're doing, when we finally realized that it was going to be multiple more years before we could convince the city and get some movement with the city, and there's, you know, pros and cons to working with the city and you know, on a city location. We never asked for money. It was only for a land lease. Yeah. But we decided in weighing it all out that you know, it was time to move to a private location that we could try and purchase. And then
part of what motivated that is that we are so close now on the restoration completion that we need to get this house now. It's time to find the home for this. And we really feel like it would be a disservice to the community and to the carousel to wait any longer to house it.
So, to build something on a leased piece of property.
That's correct.
Right. And we also have a momentum. These projects, especially being a not-for-profit, is all about generating momentum and keeping that momentum going. And so when we do this capital campaign for the building, which was the phase two of this whole project, we want to have the momentum of the restoration being fresh too and not have a gap while the thing is in storage. So, you know, timing-wise, it made sense to look at other options. And then when Bazaar, you know, announced they were moving to a different location and that spot was open, that's when we started discussing with the owners of that marketplace, Bazaar complex, realizing that it was potentially still for sale. Their previous deals hadn't worked out. And so we created a win-win. We still have to raise the money, but we have an option to and some time to do that. And part of that is moving the entire operation into the facility that was the Bazaar location. So now all the horses will be together. All the restored pieces will be on
They'll
exhibit.
Be corralled in one
there
corral.
You go.
Yes, and they'll be corralled into what I'm calling the building now, the stable, which I think is super fun. Right. So,
well, it's nice centrally located.
It's centrally located, and you know, the city has been talking about making that block into it's a historic district and turning it into the arts.
It's the arts district. It's kind of, they call it the warehouse district because it has the iconic grain elevator near it. And
building, some people may remember the building that Bazaar was in that we're moving into, what used to be the co-op.
Sure.
So I do too. Yeah. So I think it's a perfect location. I'm super excited about the move.
So we talked about the fact that I asked the question before we started today, is that building completely adequate? And is because Carousel is a big operation. And what was your
It's not quite adequate. You know, when we achieve the purchase of the building, we'll have to do some renovation. Mm-hmm. So we want to extend the building forward to the street so that the carousel can fit in there and have enough space in the back for events. You know, part of the whole idea of the carousel is it's a community gathering space, so we want to have other events. It's not just a carousel ride.
I can imagine a lot of birthday parties will happen back there.
And places for art shows, and we have a whole bunch of art, curatable art exhibition space on the carousel. There's all
possibly
kinds of
weddings.
Yes.
You know, weddings and things like that. And,
we have a row of horses that have been painted in we call it the wedding row. They've been painted in a sort of a wedding theme, soft colors that would complement pictures.
So you have a plan for renovating the building once it's purchased. How do you get to purchase? What's the road to purchase?
Well, the road is to launch a capital campaign, and that capital campaign is separate from the fundraising efforts that we have successfully done for the restoration. So, you know, we always envision it was sort of a two-phase, two-pronged approach. And so the restoration has had its life of its own, and then now we're going to start a capital campaign for the building to purchase the building and provide the funds for renovation.
You know, you mentioned that it's might be a historic building. I don't know if how old it is. It doesn't have that feel vibe to it, but there may be federal money. But, you know, you're going to have a real focus of how you're going to move forward. And what's the first step? Where are you going to go with that to get this happening?
Well, the first step is to let people know what the new plan is. We spent a lot of years talking about the previous plan, and we had some very interesting preliminary plan renderings, for that building down there at Sand Creek. And so we're changing gears. Most people are very excited by and accepting of the change in location. We still can have a lot of community cultural house aspects to this project that we envisioned. The building isn't quite as large, so you know we have to tailor location. Your location is what creates your activities, mm-hmm. and so you know we'll adapt to the new location, but it's going to be extraordinary. And so we have an event planned in November. The second big event we did when we launched the restoration was we assembled this carousel in its unrestored state at the fairgrounds in December of 2017. And so now we're going to repeat that in November of 2024, this November, the weekend before Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. and we're going to assemble it in its 85% restored state.
Will it go around?
And it will go around.
Have music?
And we'll have the band organ there, so we'll have music. We won't be offering rides yet. Okay. There's some aspects to that that, you know, we're not sure about the inspection aspect and things like that. But people will see it go around, and the horses will be all on the carousel. Most of them will be painted. We figure 30 of them will be completed by then. And how many total horses?
There are 36 total.
Okay. It's almost done. This is November 22nd through the 23rd. It's a Friday and a Saturday out at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. This is the time to kind of launch your capital campaign for people to really come and see what the potential is, and you'll have the whole thing set up for visual.
That's right. And what's fun about this fun fair that we're planning in November is that it won't just be the carousel there, but we're inviting other local not-for-profits to join us. So people can come out and see the carousel, but they'll also be able to learn about what other not-for-profits in our community are doing. There are a lot of resources in our community that people maybe just don't know how to tap into. And I think it's exciting to share the carousel with other not-for-profits.
Well, careful. FY is a not-for-profit, and who knows, maybe we'll come out there.
We'd love to have you have a booth.
That would be fantastic, yes.
Yeah, you asked earlier about the communities we've gotten involved in, and so one of them is the greater carousel community around the country and in the Northwest. Another community is getting involved in the not-for-profit community here in North Idaho, and so there's so many different communities, and the carousel is one way to connect them in a way, and connect some of those tangents of history right into the. We have a whole segment. We should do a whole segment on tattoo art, which we have a huge connection in there. That's really quite exciting, but we'll save that for another time. But just about anything you can imagine, we can connect to a carousel because of its long history, and that's some of what is extraordinarily exciting.
Well, you have a lot of work ahead of you, but it's called joyful work, I call it good work, to make this dream almost a reality now, but a true reality where others can experience it in the way that you experienced it, Reno, as a child, and how you've taken this up as a life work.
Yes. You know, for me, this project, there's just so little magic in our world today. And this project is a way to bring tangible magic to children, especially that haven't experienced this sort of thing before. And, you know, I remember it. I have those memories of that magic. And to be able to share that, to bring that to a whole new generation and have our generation be able to share that with their new generation is something that is just so special to me. And so I just think that this project is going to be something really special for our community.
You know, and it's magic for children of all ages.
That's right.
And we've gone to quite a few conventions, week-long conventions that the National Carousel Association does every year. And they, you know, we're some of the younger people in this convention, and they, you know, ride long bus rides to go visit carousels. And you know, it brings the children out in these adults. It's extraordinary to see. And believe me, you don't want to be standing in front of a group of 70, 80-year-olds when they're going to get on their carousel. You will get run over. And that's part of the fun of it, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I learned a lot. You know, here at KRFY, our mission is to provide programming that educates, informs, entertains, and enriches the lives of its listeners. And I have been informed. And I just see that there's a lot of joy behind this work that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And good work that you're doing. And how can someone find out more? Do you have a website? Do you have contact information you'd like to share?
We do have a website. You can go to thecarouselofsmiles.org. You can also come by the studio and visit us there for just a little bit longer before we make our move the first part of October to the new location. We are in the Misty Mountain Furniture Building at 5th and Cedar. We do painting there on Wednesdays and Saturdays. We love to have visitors. We also have the restoration of the mechanism in the Pioneer Square building, and we love visitors there as well. It's a working shop, so we like to make appointments for that. And you can go to the website and contact us through the newsletter there if you'd like a tour, or come in on Wednesdays and Saturdays between 10 and 1, and we would love to see you there.
The email is inbox@thecarouselofsmiles.org.
And, that's inbox@carouselofsmiles.org.
And when we get into the new building, the old Bazaar Bazaar location, sometime
on
in
Church
October,
Street, right?
Church Street, mm-hmm. Will be open quite a bit more regularly. And that'll be a great time to come in and see it all together.
So you're going to take occupation of the building as a leaser and hopes for buying, or you're in the process of purchasing?
We have a lease, and that lease starts in October, mm-hmm. and we'll be moving over there. And then part of that lease is an option
to buy, which will go.
The exclusive option gives us until the middle of the next summer to let them know that we're able to pull this off.
Perfect.
So we've been doing all the fun work, the restoration, the painting of the ponies, the rebuilding of the mechanism, and now we have to do something that I'm not familiar with, and that's really hard for me, and that's kicking off this capital pain and asking for money to get this beautiful thing housed.
You know, for nonprofits, there's a lot of resources regarding capital campaigns that is free. Go to the University of Idaho. They have a whole nonprofit section there, and they really want to work with, especially kicking off and successful capital campaign. It's great to get resources and help with that.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
See, I've learned something today, too.
You did, too. That's why we're doing this. And to the care of what, so thank you, Clay and Reno, for coming in and telling us about the Carousel of Smiles. All that you're doing, it's very exciting. We, of course, wish you all the best in this. You'll have to stay in touch as you come across the next phase. Don't forget, folks, on November 22nd and 23rd, you can go out to the fairgrounds Friday and Saturday. They'll be out there with some fun exhibits and activities, and you'll get to see the carousel. Not ride it yet, but you'll get to see it. So, especially the paintings of the ponies, that's part I would be interested in. And if you didn't get to hear the whole interview today, this interview will be podcasted. We did record it, and you can go to krfy.org later in the day and listen to it at your leisure. So thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, Susie, for having us. Yeah.